The local economy in our region is a mix of businesses old and new, all with a common thread. Someone had an idea and pursued that idea all the way up to opening the doors on a new business. We visit with entrepreneurs and sometimes the descendants of entrepreneurs in our monthly business segment, The Ground Floor. This month, we visit a second time with someone who built a business around fermented foods. Cortland Jennings is the founder and owner of Pickled Planet. He visited previously in our food segment, Savor. Now, several months later, he's back to talk about the business aspects of pickling for a living and a lifestyle. Cortland Jennings, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey. It's good to be here.
So your interest in fermented foods, as I recall, starts with some health issues you had as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when I was, not necessarily fermented foods, but when I was a kid, I was one of those early diagnosed of being a spaz, you know, otherwise known as, attention deficit disorder nowadays.
ADD, or ADHD.
And my dad had the wherewithal to get some blood tests done. And we went to go see a naturopath, and this was like way back in the 80s when going to see a naturopath was like something a lot of people didn't do.
You get called a hippie or something back then.
Right, and my dad, not even a hippie. I'm kind of amazed that it all transpired the way it did. But there I was, like, 9 years old, and I get this blood test, and the naturopath is like, hey, well, if you don't correct what's going on in your bloodstream, then you could become a diabetic. You know, your pancreas is getting overworked, and you're missing minerals and all this stuff. She's like, here's what you need to do. And so right there at age 9, it was like, well, you can either become a diabetic potentially, or you can change your health through what you're eating. And so long before I even heard the concept, food is medicine, I was applying it.
Wow, that's pretty early. I mean, compared to the rest of the world, I guess you really got onto this train at the very beginning, in the front car.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's one thing to have a fascination with something and to do this to change your own life. It's something completely other to start a business. I mean, you didn't have to go that way, but ultimately ended up there. Talk about that journey.
Sure. Well, I ended up over the years of traveling around in my 20s, I was always kind of fermenting things and enjoying it for myself, sharing it with friends, whether it was bread or whether it was, beer or whether it was kombucha. And this was all in the 90s before any of these things had really, sourdough bread obviously was around, but and beer was around and stuff. But, things like kombucha and whatnot were not really readily available in the marketplace. And I met some people when I was about 22 and became friends with them. And in the course of knowing them over, whatever it was, 8 months where I was living somewhere, they opened a brewery. And I was like, wow, that's cool. You guys are opening a brewery, because I had helped them brew beer and stuff in their house. And I was like, wow, I could probably do something like this someday. And, without really, wanting, thinking I was going to do that, because I was a massage therapist at the time. It's a little bit more my career path. I was like, wow, that's cool. I'd love to do something like this someday. Maybe not beer, but, And then, I kept on going and just living my life. And at some point in the late 90s, started to make fermented vegetables and really enjoyed them. And I sort of noticed, wow, you can't really buy this, anywhere. And that was right about when kombucha was starting to emerge as well. And this is goes back to, I'd say about 2001, when I was like, oh, I think I want to do something. Mm-hmm. Suddenly I'm like, I moved to Ashland in 2001. And there was more massage therapists than lawyers here. So I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to be a massage therapist very successfully here. So, I just started had a job and met someone that offered me a free kitchen, a free commercial kitchen to work in. And I was like, well, I'm going to do this, without any business training or, formal education in finances or anything. I was like, just going to go for it.
What'd you start with? What was your first product?
Well, the first product was four products, mm-hmm. and it was what are known as the Great Plain, mm-hmm. and the Beet Kraut, and the Lil' Kimchi, and the Velvet Sea. Those are my first four.
And so kimchi, and so were they all basically variations of pickled cabbage?
Basically all variations of sauerkraut. Mm-hmm. And even our kimchi is not really proper Korean kimchi. That's why we call it Lil' Kim, also because I'm a fan of hip-hop. So, put a little...
I love that name, Lil' Kimchi.
Yeah, Lil' Kimchi. I still never got a call from her or her agent or anything, but,
Not even a cease and desist order?
No, nothing. It's just there, So those are my first four products. And then I just continued to build on them as time went along. And, one of the reasons why I did this was I started to recognize, and having my own you know, history of like food as medicine, and all through my 20s, like learning about different food ways and different traditions and different ways to like, you know, be a vegan and do all these different things to adjust your diet based on, you know, building on what I had done when I was a kid. I kind of started to notice that like food was getting worse, you know, like it was actually unintentionally, for the sake of profiteering, was being weaponized. You know, like I said, it's not on purpose, but because you can make food cheaper that's less healthy and make more money. You know, this sort of weaponization of food and medicine to a certain extent really became alarming to me. And I was a bit of an activist and kind of like, you know, wanted to do something that would help, you know, reverse this trend of weaponized food and people becoming unhealthy. And no one really talked about the microbiome. Nobody talked about gut and brain connections and how many, you know, important factors in health are connected to a healthy gut. You know, I knew it because I had done my own research, but.
Well, that's what I was about to ask, though. It seems like the rest of the world has been learning about the microbiome for the last 10 years or so. At least that's about how long I've been aware of it. But it sounds like you've known about the microbiome and gut bacteria for much longer than that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've been fermenting things for their health benefit for, you know, since the early 90s. You know, at first it was just like something I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. My stepmom was making sourdough bread. I was like, oh, what's this bubbling thing you have on the counter all of a sudden? I'm like, this is interesting, you know, like, but once I started learning about the health benefits, you know, throughout the 90s, you know, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And nobody done the research yet, Jeffrey. Like,
really?
Nobody knew anything yet. I mean, some of us knew, and there were some books that had come out, you know, the Weston Price Foundation, you know, and Nourishing Traditions is one of those books that came out in, like, I think the late 90s that kind of started to break things open a little bit more, you know, and they had looked at historical diets around the world of indigenous cultures and, you know, when they changed, parts of the population changed to a new westernized type diet, and some of them had remained with the old diet. And Weston Price was this doctor, and he was able to, like, study some of these cultures and see the difference in outcome with the ones that stayed with their traditional diet and the ones that went to a Western diet.
Cortland Jennings is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's edition of The Ground Floor, our segment on businesses and their founders. He is the founder and owner of Pickled Planet, based in Ashland. You can join the conversation, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How much of a market was there at first? I mean, there's a, you know, probably a generation or two of Americans who, when they hear sauerkraut, they think, oh, God, that stuff that mom used to throw on the hot dogs out of a can.
Yeah, the market was really small at first. You know, there was a lot of missionary work for me.
you know,
in
really
the marketplace.
Proselytize?
Yeah, I'd go and do in store demos, and people are like, oh, with the hot dogs, and I'm like, well, actually, you know, it's really a lot more than that. You know, and kind of explain it to people. And this is like 2004, 2005. You know, people are really beginning to, you know, the ones that were into health food and into natural products, which is where we sold our products in health food stores, we're starting to come around to this idea, you know, of like, you know, healthy gut means, you know, healthy rest of you.
Have you done anything new to the processes? I mean, have you discovered any new wrinkles to fermentation, or is it pretty much the same process that goes on basically when you leave things alone together?
Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't say that I really discovered anything new that some other people hadn't discovered on their own. You know, I think for me, some of the discoveries that I made were new to me, you know, in my own research, but it came from research that other people had done. You know, it wasn't like I'm doing research and making these discoveries, and more like I'm reading other people's research and making my own discoveries based on that. But there is some changes I made over the years of manufacturing the product that improved it. You know, some of them I just going to keep to myself because they're my own little proprietary advantage.
Are they flavor differences primarily?
Yeah, and consistency of the product, you know, crispiness versus mushiness, things like that. There's a lot you can do to adjust that, you know.
Okay, so a few secrets you're keeping. But, and how much has Pickled Planet grown since you started doing this?
Well, I started it with about $3,000 I had saved up in my bank, and now we're doing about a top line of close to $1 million this year. So we went from, you know, selling 3,000 a year to.
You multiplied your investment many times over then, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's been an interesting journey, really, because I, right as I started to get to the next level of scale, it was about 2008. And of course, suddenly, like, I'm like, oh, I really, oh, I need to borrow money. I need to like, you know, getting, I was myself learning more about running a business and finances and how to properly personally and professionally maintain finances. And then all of a sudden, you know, the markets changed. You know, it's like, oh, wow, I could have bought a house like a couple years ago really easily. Everything got a lot more difficult right around then. And so it's been quite challenging to work as an entrepreneur that's growing, to work through, you know, these cash flow challenges and these financing challenges, you know.
Were there concerns that there would be no pickled planet at points during the recession?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there were moments. Yeah, there were definitely moments where, you know, it was like near-death experience for Pickle Planet because of, you know, some calamity with the operation. We had to throw away a whole bunch of compost, but had to throw away a whole bunch of product, which just leaves you with a crater of loss, you know, and that, you know, when you're only so big, you know, recovering from that is really difficult. And I didn't take a paycheck from the business for a long time. Wow. And periodically, like, you know, go through periods where I don't pay myself and just live off credit cards for a little while because the business needs as much money as it can have. So rather than me, you know, taking the money and watching the business not be able to pay its bills, you know, I'll have more trouble paying my own bills personally.
All right. So you're still times of negative cash flow. You're
saying, oh, yeah. Right? Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, because the business is still undercapitalized, but it's growing and people love it. I mean, we get like rave reviews all over. And in the product category known as fermented foods, Pickle Planet is actually recognized as one of the best brands in the country.
Let's get a call in here. Peter and Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange to the ground floor. We're talking to Cortland Jennings of Pickled Planet. Hi, Peter.
Good morning. I am wondering two questions. First of all, for a novice, if you're just, you know, cutting up some cabbage and some veggies and a little salt in a gallon jug jar, for instance, glass jar that's clean, what would you say are your most common things that you would say to a novice that you want to watch out for in terms of like the, you know, maybe that ooze that comes up the top? That's one. And then the other question is, I've heard and feel like read a long time ago that garlic for some reason is tricky, bordering on very dangerous to ferment.
All right,
thank you very much for your show.
All right, thanks for the questions, Peter, appreciate that. So cautions and garlic.
Yeah, right on, Peter. Well, I appreciate you calling in with a question. As far as the garlic thing, I'll just go with that first. I've not ever heard that before. I've been pickling garlic both as a part of my recipes for a long time and never had any problem. And I've actually experimented with and launched for a little while a product called Uber Garlic, which is garlic cloves that we have fermented just in their whole form by themselves. And yeah, I don't know what the danger would be. Garlic is an antibiotic. It's a really strong antibiotic. So it is...
Kill your breath, yeah.
I mean, it definitely kill your breath. And it definitely sort of like fights against the bacterial colonization that you're working with. But I've never had issues with it except in the pickling the whole cloves of garlic. It just takes a lot of extra time for it to ferment. And as far as like a newcomer doing some kraut in your house, the glass jar, the gallon is a good size to go with. I would say you definitely want to make sure that so the bacteria that make sauerkraut happen, they're what's known as thermophilic bacteria, and so they're sensitive to temperature, and they really like a stable temperature. So try to put it somewhere where the temperature isn't going to go up and down and up and down and up and down, because every time it goes up and down, the bacteria have to readjust, and they're not really in their sweet spot anymore. And I'd also say that you really want to keep the liquid that is coming out of the cabbage through osmosis with the salt, you really want to keep that liquid above the cabbage because the bacteria, as well as being thermophilic, are also anaerobic bacteria, so they don't like oxygen. And that barrier of the liquid creates, you know, a situation that doesn't have any oxygen.
Thanks again for the questions, Peter. Quick call from Aaron in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Cortland Jennings from Pickled Planet. Aaron, you there?
Hi, Co. It's Aaron Hart. I was just calling in to say hi. I was listening to you on the radio and just haven't talked to you for a long time. So I'm glad you're trucking along and doing so well.
All right. Thanks for the call, Aaron. Appreciate it. Old friend of yours? Or
That's
like?
Great. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, Aaron and I go way back to before I started Pickle Planet, actually. I met him in Mount Shasta when I was living there in 99. He's a good guy. I had no idea where he's living now. So thanks for calling, Aaron. Feel free to give me an email, pickleplanet@gmail.com.
Okay, pickledplanet@gmail.com. So you mentioned that you've got a good reputation across the country. How far and wide is the Pickled Planet stuff distributed?
So every year we kind of go a little further, right? Last year, 2018, we launched into in the spring of 2018, we launched into Texas, and then later, kind of like very beginning of this year, January, we launched into a warehouse in Iowa. And then in June, a warehouse in Indiana. And then in October, I think it was. Yeah, just recently, we launched into a warehouse in Atlanta and Florida. Wow. And so wherever we can grow within, you know, our capabilities as far as that financing goes, you know, we do so, you know, using brokers and using the distribution network through our main customer.
So employees aside, can I assume that space is one of your biggest costs? You need space to have all these things fermenting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Space is a thing. A lot of what slows us down in growth is just not having that, like, the sort of like pool of the reserve of money that I can just work a budget out and be mm-hmm. like, all right, go after this, go after that, go after the other thing. Right now, it's just sort of like, okay, I'm going to do exactly as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And if I go beyond that, then, you know, you sort of fall on your face with cash flow. So
you felt back in 2007, 08, it sounds like, you know, you're finally reaching some sort of glide path of general stability. Do you feel like that again at this point for Pickled Planet?
Well, you know, I feel like we're going to continue because people love what we make and we do a good job. And we always make sure that everything that ends up in a jar with our name on it tastes really good. So as long as people keep buying, we're going to keep flying, you know?
All right, Pickled Planet. Cortland Jennings is the owner and the founder, and he's joining us once again for this month's edition of The Ground Floor to get a look at the business aspects of fermenting for a living. Thanks for coming back to the Jefferson Exchange. Always good to see you.
Right on, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, take it easy.